Do we need to track our kids? Do we need to constantly be monitoring where they are when they're driving or how their grades are doing on a daily basis? I know for many parents, they feel like that's what a responsible parent needs to be doing. And they may be right, but it's really not about it being a right or wrong choice. It's really about being thoughtful about how these apps that we have every day that are in our lives to help us be better parents, really being thoughtful about how are they helping equip our kids. So in today's podcast, Sarah and I are going to give you 5 steps on how you as a couple or as a single parent can walk through this and really decide if using these apps or these devices is going to be more helpful than hurtful to raising a kid that is self-disciplined, self-controlled, responsible, kind, and all those other great things you want your kid to be.
Welcome to The Art of Raising Humans.
The Art of Raising Humans podcast is designed to support, equip, and encourage parents to have long-lasting, deeply connected relationships with their kids that are free from fear and shame. Come join us on this parenting journey. Kyle.
And I'm Sarah.
And on today's podcast, we are going to talk about tracking our kids.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Didn't exist when we were kids,
yes.
But now it does.
Yes, and so before we get into that, well, we're going to dive into ways in which we kind of make those decisions, right? Because we help a lot of kids. We get to do coaching with a lot of different parents, and that there's a lot of like different ways people make decisions about their stuff.
Right.
And so we really kind of wanted to walk you through how we make decisions in light of these kind of topics, right?
It's
should we not track our kids and that kind of thing?
Yeah, because it's not really a black or white issue. It's not definitely do it, definitely don't do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to consider. So we're going to help bring light to those things so that you can make the decision with your family.
Yes. So before we dive into that, we'd love for you to go to wherever you're getting the podcast and give us a 5-star review, give us some comments. All that stuff really helps us be seen more. I mean, right now we're pretty excited. We mentioned this back in our 100th episode that we're in the top 3% of parenting podcasts, and it just helps us continue to rise in those charts so we can reach more parents because we want to help as many as we possibly can, you know? So we just want to spread the word. And if you think this is helpful, we'd love for you not only comment on it, but share that. And then hopefully it'll equip more parents to be able to parent with less fear, less shame, give them more skills, you know, along the way. So the reason why this came up, Sarah, is because I've been seeing a lot of kids. I help a lot of teenagers and talk to a lot of parents, and they use apps like Life 360. Right. So I think everybody listening here either knows what that is. You're using it right now with your kids or it's a real popular app, you know.
Yeah.
And I know there's other ones out there, but we'll just reference that one as the most popular.
Basically just a way to know where they're at. Sometimes what they're doing, driving, things like that, but a way to track your child.
Yeah. And so that we want to start again by saying we're not experts on this. We didn't go dive into all the stats about Life 360. Mm-hmm. This is really about.
And we're not really making a recommendation of do it or don't do it. That's not the point of this.
Yeah. And we'd love to hear from you at the end of it. If you want to send us comments about, hey, I use it and this is how we use it, this is how it's helpful. We'd love to hear that, right? Or if you said, well, we used to do it and we don't do it anymore because of this and this reason. And so more, it's just, I felt like it was coming up more and more as I was helping parents and kids, Sarah, of just this question. It seemed like for many people, it was just a given. Your kid becomes a certain age, typically driving age, and they then want to get Life 360. It's just like a given because most other parents seem to be doing it, right? And they have some really great reasons why they're doing it. So let's just start there. Like, what are some reasons for getting a Life 360, getting a tracking app?
I mean, the first thing that comes in my mind is safety.
Because
then I know, I mean, ideally in my world, I know where my child is located, right? And that didn't exist when we were younger. But now it's like, if anything goes wrong, I know right where my child is. I can show where they've been, if they're getting to the right place with the right people at the right time. That's my thought.
If something happened, they got into a wreck you couldn't get a hold of them, you would know where they were, right? Something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So for you, one of the main reasons you'd say people use is for safety. Okay. It seems like also what I hear them using it for is they want to keep track of them because maybe there's a lack of trust. You know, and so that they don't know, they don't trust for sure that the kid is always going to be where they intended to be or where they said they were going to go.
They told me they were going to this person's house, but I look on there and they're at someone else's house or they're at the mall or
So there is this history of the kid says, I'm only going here. And then the kid says, I'm going other places. Right. Mm-hmm. So there is a sense of safety with that too. Right.
Right.
But also
it's like an accountability sort of.
Somewhat. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Somewhat keeping the kid responsible. Maybe like somebody's watching you. So maybe you're more apt to make.
You better be honest about where you're going and how long you're going to be there. Things like that.
And another one I see it used for, Sarah, is driving habits.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe if the kid is new to driving and we want him or her to be safer driving, we don't want them speeding. Mm-hmm. We don't want them driving erratic or crazy. Mm-hmm. That Life 360 will track a lot of that stuff, you know?
That's a big concern when you've got a new driver, right? Where they're driving and how they're driving.
Yeah. And then maybe you could give them feedback on it, right? You could give them feedback on, hey, it seemed like this and this was happening. What was going on there? Mm-hmm. It could provide some helpful conversations on how to be a better driver.
Right.
Any other thoughts, any other reasons why people might use it?
Oh, and those are what come to mind. I'm sure we're missing some.
Okay. Okay. If we're missing any, please let us know. Yeah, those are the ones that I wrote down too. Those are the reasons why I hear parents that I help coach, that's what they're telling me they're using it for, is mostly for those, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But then what are
time on the phone, screens.
Okay. Yes. Yeah,
messages.
Yeah. Yeah. There might be some feedback on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's some negatives though? What's some negative possible outcomes from using an app like Life 360 with your kid?
The first one that comes to mind is relationship.
Okay.
I think for some kids, especially depending on personalities and things, that doesn't feel good to feel like you've got this little microscope on you and we're watching you.
Yeah. Big brother is always around.
We're waiting for you to mess up. We know you mess up. We know you're lying and we're watching you. And rather that's true or
and
not,
almost like you need us to watch you.
Yeah.
Right? Like you need us because if we aren't watching you, you're likely to do something you shouldn't be doing, right?
You can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And I think even if it's true, even if your child has broken trust many times, that's not going to feel good and it won't build your relationship.
Yeah.
So maybe you feel like it's accomplishing safety or something like that. It's probably not doing much for your relationship with your child.
Well, and you hear kids say that, like, I feel like they did it because they don't trust me. I feel like they did it because they think I'm going to do something bad if they're not watching me, you know?
And they're trying to be children their brain is wired to try to work towards autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stage of development they're in. So to feel like you're the thing holding them back from that, you don't believe in them, you're not helping their brain with the thing it's naturally wanting to do, isn't going to feel good.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then the second one I put down was it could limit communication. You know, a kid I was talking to recently was telling me how he would like to have those conversations about where he's going, about what he's doing, about what time he's going to get back. But it's almost like with Life 360, those conversations aren't happening. You know?
Yeah. It's like, you can just look.
Yeah, that's right. You can tell where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need to text me. I don't need to tell you I left from here to here. If you want to know where I am, go check the app. Right.
Yeah.
So there is the very thing that hopefully is maybe already a problem, I guess, is maybe that the communication needs to be helped, is it's going to limit that now, you know, instead of it being a way to increase that communication, right? Because now them driving could be a way to make sure we need to be in better contact. I need you to let me know when you're leaving somewhere because I want to know just in case you run out of gas or whatever might happen that we can easily, find where you're at.
So it takes the place. It can take the place of communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also thought it leads to a lot of assumptions. You know, I've seen it where some families I'll be helping, Sarah, they will look at the app and see that the kid is at some kind of drive-through restaurant, you know, someplace that in the parent's mind should only take 10 minutes, 15 minutes tops. Mm-hmm. And they're looking and the kid's there 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it is, you know, and the parents, what are they doing there? Why are they there with their boyfriend or girlfriend? Are they there up to no good? And so they're actually you can feel the tension in the parent looking at the app going, what's going on?
Yeah.
And the assumption isn't good.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, they're just hanging out. It's no big deal. Like, and already when the kid comes home, the kid feels this energy. And the question is, why were you at that place so long?
Yeah.
You know, there's an immediate accusation from it.
And even though they're teenagers or kids and you think it still doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. If I walked in the door and you're like, I noticed you were at Target for 40. I thought you were just running to get some sausage or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good to them either.
I know, even honestly, Sarah, there's been times I've fallen into it. We don't even have Life 360, but we've got the iPhone app, right? Where I can see where you're at. Yeah. And you'll have gone to the grocery store, and I'll want to be going somewhere, and I'll be thinking, how long is this taking? You know, and I'll look at the app and I'll be getting upset at how long you're taking at the grocery store, you know? And so I could imagine a parent doing that with their kid and thinking, in my mind, that should not take this long. You should have been done with this by now.
Well, what are you doing?
Yes.
And nothing that builds relationship is just the point.
Yes.
It's not bringing you together.
Totally. Are you frustrated and overwhelmed as a parent? Are you wanting to stop using fear-based techniques such as spanking and timeouts, but don't know what else to do? Do you want a positive and joyful connection with your children? Well, we want to help you. We love coaching parents and giving them all the tools they need to raise kids that are happy, respectful, and self-controlled. If you're ready to take that step, email me at kyle@artofraisinghumans.com. I look forward to meeting with you and seeing if you'd be the right fit. Yes. And so then the next one is, it gives parents a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you kind of speak to that? How does it do that?
Well, in some ways, sometimes it's just not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll believe something or think you know something and you don't.
Yeah.
You know, just FYI, teens can get around things.
Yes.
So
how would they do that, Sarah? How would they get around?
They have a lot of
this
ways.
Genius app.
A lot of ways. So they can figure out ways around it. So then the parent, again, it's unfortunate for the relationship, right?
Yep.
You build this dynamic of you're watching me and I'm going to just need to come up with ways to get around you watching.
Almost like my goal as a kid is to like get out from the constraints of you controlling me, right?
Yeah.
And so they'll do things, I'm sure parents know, but they'll do things like leave their phone somewhere and act like they're there, but just go to a different location.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll just let their phone die, you know, and be like, well, my phone died. It lost its battery stuff. So
then you don't know if it actually just died.
I know.
It could have.
I know.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
So it creates
this tension. Yes. Mm-hmm. And all this assumptions, all this conflict that didn't necessarily need to be there, right?
Yeah.
And then I think it also, one other negative I put on here was, it also misses an opportunity for the kid to actually show you they are trustworthy, for a kid to actually feel trustworthy, you know, to say, that felt good. I told my parents I was only going here.
Yeah.
My parents don't even know it, but I had options to go to the place. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
That feels good. The ability to practice self-control.
Yeah. I was going to say all those skills,
right?
Because we actually want them to have the skills. And funny thing is, by watching them and micromanaging it, they don't really build the skill. Showing them, I believe in you. I believe you can learn this skill. I'm going to support you learning this skill. You're going to practice it. And they feel like, wow, I did it. I was able to do that.
And then I'm going to give you the opportunity to work on it. Right. And then
sense of autonomy and growing up.
I think a real big thing in our culture that's really grown quite a bit, you know, typically if you haven't heard our parenting styles podcast, I encourage you to go back to that. That was last year. And when you go there, you'll see there's typically four parenting styles that we discuss. We talk about the uninvolved or neglectful parent. We talk about the authoritarian parent, the permissive parent. And then we discuss also the authoritative or the loving guidance, you know, whatever inside out type parent. But this fifth one has started to become more popular in our culture.
Very. I mean, I think it's everywhere. Yeah. You're hearing about this all the time.
Which is the helicopter parent.
Yeah.
You know? And it seems like to me, Sarah, apps like this, although I could believe the people who made it completely intended it to be helpful.
And it can be.
Yes.
Right,
like we said.
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
And it can be completely helpful. It can make sure a lot of maybe dangerous things don't happen. It can help somebody be more safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure
raise awareness. I mean, even they can look at it and see how often, you know, how am I doing on my speed limits? How am I doing, right? It could be great for that.
And but what it's done, I think, is helped create more of this helicopter parent mentality, right? That almost I'm an irresponsible parent if I don't have something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you're almost being neglectful by not having an app like
this. You kind of are really a helicopter. It's like you got this little thing.
It's like you have a little drone going around. Maybe they should just invent that. It'd be more like, okay, see you later. Get the drone out, honey. Just flying it around and seeing it. But yeah, and then because I think this ties into, because before Life 360 became a thing, An even bigger thing was monitoring your kids' school grades, you know, and in a daily getting a report or in the instant seeing when a teacher puts in a zero.
Log in or that. Yeah. And they still have all those things.
And so I think that was part of our culture already that kind of brought about this helicopter parenting type thing.
Instead of getting them once a semester.
Yes. And once again, there were some bad things about that.
There
was kids, parents didn't know. My parents had no idea what grades I was
getting.
And
now you could actually help them sooner because you realize there was a problem.
You could intervene
instead
quicker.
Instead of finding out, how come I didn't know this has been going on for, you know, the whole month or whatever.
But I think the same problem exists with that too, Sarah, is what it does when I now have knowledge and information of what their grades are, where they're at, how they're driving. Mm-hmm. Now, who becomes responsible for that information?
Yeah.
I, as the parent, feel responsible now to do something about it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to before, that information was just in the hands of the kid. Mm-hmm. And the kid was the one responsible to do something about it, right? And sometimes that's too much, you know, given to the
they
kid.
They needed support, and no, we didn't even know.
Exactly.
Right? As parents, we didn't know.
Because the kid's brain is still developing. The kid doesn't have actually
all the skills.
The skills, the tools.
For sure.
So they actually need your help. So sometimes the kid would think it's all on their shoulders, and they're just like a poor little fifth grader or sixth grader, and they don't know that, no, this is actually supposed to be something you do with your parents, right?
Yes.
But since the parents didn't know, they just assumed you got it all together. You got it figured out,
right,
you know?
Right.
And the kid inside is stressing and like, oh my gosh, I hope by the time the report card comes out, I have it up, you know?
Right.
So now I think
we can probably all relate to that even in a job scenario where maybe you feel like you're underwater in your job and you need support, but, you know, does your boss know?
Yeah.
You know, even as adults, we have that experience.
I think a great example as you're saying that is in our culture, we're supposed to know things and asking questions lots of times makes you look stupid.
How come you don't already know
that? So in a work setting,
the boss
might say something and you might be completely confused as to what the boss he or she is saying.
Yeah.
And you don't raise your hand to ask for clarification because you don't want everyone to go, how do you not know what we're doing?
You're behind on some task you were supposed to have done, but then you're really afraid to go say, hey, I'm struggling to get this done. Yeah.
Yes. So I understand the point of those apps and the point of being able to have that knowledge is to help you as a parent support your kid in being successful.
Mm-hmm.
But all too often, that knowledge doesn't lead to that. It leads to the parent feeling this sense of responsibility to now take over what the kid is doing and make sure the kid succeeds at it. You know?
Yeah.
And then the kid, at least when I'm talking to them, they don't feel like it's their job anymore.
Right.
They think it's your job to make them successful.
Mm-hmm. Instead of taking that responsibility. And,
So and framing in that way, if any of you, I'm sure everybody on here has had some experience who's listening with grade type apps and those kind of things, but maybe you're just now new to this Life 360, you've been doing it for a while. I'm sure you can all relate to that tension. And all we want to do is kind of, you know, walk through how we help parents make those choices. Like, is Life 360 the thing for our family? You know, those kind of apps, right?
Anything like
any
that,
app, right? Or is monitoring grades on a daily basis, is that something we want to do as parents? You know, so it all kind of ties into that.
And if I want
together.
It, how could it be, how can I try to lean into the helpfulness of it and away from the, you know, the risk to relationship and those other downfalls?
So I think the first question we always ask ourselves, Sarah, is we try to do kind of an inner assessment of what is our intent.
Starts with us. Yeah.
What is our intent behind the action?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I doing this because I'm scared?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing this as an attempt to control? Right? Am I closed fisted as opposed to open handed? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm framing it in light of safety, but really it is. I want them to be safe, but also I believe they're just naturally unsafe. Yeah. So I need to make them safer. Right?
I kind of want to spy on my kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I feel responsible to do it.
Yeah,
I feel like once again,
like,
I'm a neglectful parent if I don't know this stuff.
So maybe I'm supposed to and I should. But I think that part, you got to check in with yourself and really have that honest conversation of what's really going on here. Because if it is coming out of fear, that's not a great motivator.
Yeah.
So there could be some great intent to it, but you want to own that other piece. If there is this other piece, you want to kind of pull that to light. Because if you're acting out of that space, the kids will feel it.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to create a problem. So that's not the space you want to operate. You want to deal with that first so you can move.
Yeah. And so, and in this parenting approach, we want to come open-handed And with something as big as this, and or anything, but especially mm-hmm. as big as this, we want the kid to do this with us hand in hand.
Definitely.
And if we're coming with fear as the main intent, mm-hmm. that's that we want. We're wanting to stop all these bad things from happening, or yeah. we even want to stop ourselves from looking like a neglectful, irresponsible parent.
Yeah, whatever it could be, some social yeah. expectation, something we have on ourselves, yeah. something from our history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because I'm sure there's got to be this fear, Sarah. What if something did happen?
Yeah,
and I didn't have that app on there, and I could have. Mm-hmm. Now I'm responsible somewhat for the negligence of that, right? So I'm sure those thoughts are there.
Right.
So first, I want to evaluate and talk it over with your spouse, like you mm-hmm. and I would discuss it together mm-hmm. about what is our intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we really trying to accomplish here? Then the second thing is, how can we do this with them?
Yeah,
you know, how can we go hand in hand with our kid to co-create whatever it is we're trying to do here.
Right. Because if I'm in a great space with it, I want to go to them, because especially as teenagers, I'm trying to prepare them to be adults, because
yeah.
they're right there. They're mm-hmm. so close. And it's an illusion to think that I'm still controlling everything. I actually don't even want to be,
yeah.
because I really want to be handing things off to them. So I need to invite them into that. And my goal is to keep shifting more and more to them.
Yeah. More and more handing that off. Right?
Yeah.
But we're doing this hand in hand. So I'm thinking, how would they feel about this? So if mm-hmm. we ask them, we could ask them, how do you feel about this? Like, you know, is yeah. this something you think is important?
Yeah.
Right. Are they asking for this tool to help them? Are they asking for it? You know, is this something they're saying? Because there are some kids I do. They say, I want
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like having
this
it.
This could
great.
Be helpful
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. Totally. There's many kids
great
who say,
space for that.
Yeah. I totally like having it, because I like that my parents know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're never anxious or worried about mm-hmm. it, because they can see clearly what's going mm-hmm. on.
I can show, it demonstrates yep. everything. Mm-hmm. I'm driving, all this great stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's a way for me to show what I'm doing so well.
But then also some interesting questions come up that kids will ask. Are the parents going to share their location?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're doing this together, why am I the only one?
And if it's for safety, yeah. don't you need to be
exactly.
safe too?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, is there a double standard? You know,
mm-hmm.
if you're watching how I drive, can I see how you drive?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we together learning how to be better drivers? Right.
Yeah.
And so if I'm unwilling to share that, what's the reason? I mean, there might be mm-hmm. a good reason. I don't know. But to the kid, mm-hmm. it seems like a double standard. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how are they going to perceive this? I'd also mm-hmm. be wondering, are they resisting this? Are they pushing against it? If they are, then I've got to go back again to the intent.
Yeah.
Maybe my intent is out of fear and I thought it wasn't, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe they're misunderstanding the intent. Maybe they yeah. think I don't trust them. I don't believe in them and I'm trying to control them. So mm-hmm. I need to go back to that first question to reevaluate, what is my intent? Because mm-hmm. maybe the reason why they're pushing back is because maybe I am trying to be too controlled.
And I really want to hear mm-hmm. if they're resistant to it. I need to know, you know, what's going on in them, and maybe there's an opportunity to heal something there.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something on your side or their side, and it's at least an indication that there's potentially a relationship breakdown, and I want to fix that,
yeah.
or I want to do something about that.
Yep. And then the third one was, what is the skill we are wanting them to learn? So I think this is really important to, what is the skill in this moment that we're thinking this moment, they're driving, they're having more independence.
Mm-hmm.
What is the skill that we think they're lacking that they need to get better at? What is the skill they already have to some extent, but this could be a great chance for them to practice it more, you know?
Yeah.
So some of the skills I wrote down, Sarah, are self-control, their ability to communicate more clearly, right? And mm-hmm. and be more intentional about that.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to take responsibility for their actions, mm-hmm. Being independent and making safer choices.
Yeah.
Right. So I think those are all skills we want them to have mm-hmm. by the time they leave and become adults, right? And they
right.
go off to wherever they're going to go. Is we'd like them to have a lot of opportunities to practice those skills in the safety of our relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're still living at our house.
Mm-hmm.
And if we believe they don't have these, and therefore we're using an app like Life360 or some school app to then control them.
Yeah.
We're missing that opportunity.
It needs to be a tool, mm-hmm. a helpful tool to yep. them, to you, to everybody. So not something I'm going to secretly control you with
yep.
or something.
Yep.
You know, yeah. You want them to see it as, this could be a helpful tool to me and it could be a helpful tool to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And so we want to evaluate, what is the skill we are wanting them to learn? So that's once again, another great conversation as couples
yep.
to be like, what is it we think they need to get stronger at? What is it they mm. already do really well? Right?
Yeah.
Because we don't want this device to somehow take away the opportunity to get better at that skill. Right.
Yeah.
So then the fourth one was, is just, would this help them learn the skill? You know, or does it undermine their ability to learn it? What ways could it help them practice the skill? You know, so I love the opportunity of saying, like, I think Life360 could be a great way to do that, to say, hey, this is a brand new endeavor, a new step you're on, where you're really going to be more independent, and there's going to be opportunities for us to make all types of choices outside of our ability to help, you know, guide you on those, you know? And so maybe a parent says, I would like to have this on there just to help you know that we're there with you, to help you, to be able to be alongside you, you know? So that way, then if there's a kid tempting you to go do something that might be harmful, you could go, ah, no, my parents, they won't be cool with that. They're like, so you could use it for that, right?
Totally. Sometimes you need that way out. And parents are a great way out if the child feels in that moment they need that extra.
Or it could be, I hear kids say, Sarah, that sometimes they thought about making that impulsive choice and having the app cause them to pause and go, oh, wait, is this really going to be safe? Is this a great idea? Right. So just even the app itself was this level of accountability. You said it wasn't controlling their choice, but it helped them be aware that there is someone else involved in this choice. And this isn't something you're just doing under this like complete anonymity and nobody knows about it. Like your parents are seeing it. Or even like they say with driving, some kids say, I do drive safer. You know, it's kind of like you see those commercials.
It's like a reminder. It's there to remind me, hey, well, and I can look back at it.
And you see insurance apps do that too.
Yes. Yeah.
Where they give you incentives to drive safer, right? So so there's a way in which someone else is watching. So therefore, I'm being more thoughtful. It's not about controlling me because you don't trust me, but it's saying, hey, we're with you. You know, so you're more likely to make, so I could see that being a helpful way for the kid.
And then they're stepping into it instead of it being this external source of control.
Yes.
It's, I'm using this extra thing out here to help with my internal control. And that's a switch, and you want them building that internal, not I'm only driving this way because you're watching
me. And then the fifth one, the last one is just, is this sustainable? So how long is this actually going to be helpful?
Right.
You know, I mean, for lots of parents, they start it when the kid's 16. Are you going to keep doing this when they're 18, 19, 20? What's the end game?
And then what happens if you've used it as this controlling thing? What happens when they can just choose to get rid of it? You know, have they built the what they need at that point, or has it just been this external?
Well, and going back to that idea is, if we don't trust them, if we don't believe they can do this safely, what is the end game to help them do that, right? So if they are thinking, oh, it's only because the Life360 is there, otherwise I would have done all types of stupid things, then when is that going to come off? Like as soon as they're 18, you see this a lot with kids who go to college. They think it's freedom to go to college and be, they don't understand that freedom comes from self-control. Freedom comes from self-discipline. So the ability to actually choose what is better for you, that is freedom. It's not just doing whatever you want, but kids who have had parents monitoring them from the time they were little and constantly telling them what the good choice is, the kid doesn't actually know how to make that choice, you know, because now the kid's looking around and maybe they start dating somebody who will do that for them or something, or, you know, but they still feel the need to have those external controls making them make good choices.
Because they haven't had something built inside of them. It's always been this outside thing. So when the outside thing's gone, they don't know how to, what do they do?
So just to recap, Sarah, those five for anybody for who's listening on this is, we ask, what is the intent behind the action? Number two, how can we do this with them? How can we co-create this with them? Number three, what is the skill we are wanting the kid to learn? Number four, will this actually help them learn that skill? And then number five is this sustainable? So is whatever action I'm doing, how long is this actually going to help?
What's the plan for it?
Well, what's the end game? If we're going to do this, what's the end game? Is it just for a temporary fix, or is it actually to help our kid thrive and be successful into their adult years? Okay. So I hope that conversation was helpful to you. If you are thinking about anything from a tracking app for a driver all the way down to looking at grades. And we have a whole nother podcast we do just on grades, and we'll probably do more in the future because it's a really big thing for a lot of parents where they feel like they need to constantly be on top of those grades and tracking what's going on. You can ask these exact same questions about looking at those grade apps and constantly being on top of that, because really your kids want to be successful drivers. They want to be successful at school. They want to do that. So you actually have the exact same goal. So how can we use these tools, if at all, to help them achieve those goals? Okay. So I hope this conversation really helped expand that conversation. Please make sure you go comment, give us a 5-star rating, share this podcast with your friends. And we just thank you for listening today.
Yeah. Have a great day.
The Art of Raising Humans podcast should not be considered or used as counseling, but for educational purposes only.